Okay, amen. Good evening. It's good to see you all here again. And we've really enjoyed coming up and being able to spend this time with all of you and just to see what the Lord is doing here. I met Brother Charlie soon after he was saved. We went on a missions trip, my first missions trip to Vanuatu. And it was my second trip. I went for a month, and then the following year in January I went on a second trip with a big team from Faith, and I just still remember how all the Nevans called him Icebox, which means it's the Bishlama word for fridge, because he's just so big. But I've always been encouraged and as a young man by his testimony and his love for the Lord, and I'm just thrilled to see what the Lord's doing here through him. And it's just a wonderful blessing, not to bring praise to man, of course, but just to honour and thank God for what he's doing. I've just been thinking of this recently, and I think I mentioned it to a couple of you today. To have a church that just opens the Bible and preaches the Bible, you'd think that would be a common thing in church. Isn't that what church is supposed to be? But you go a long way to find a church that will just simply open the Bible and tell you what it says. And so value what you have here. You may not have the biggest numbers, but if you've got the truth, what a blessing. For those of you who perhaps haven't had a chance yet, we do have just a little sign-up sheet there if you would like to receive the Sharpened Arrows publication. And I would encourage you to have a quick look through there and see some of the articles there written by godly young people. Young people influence young people, and the world and the devil have really caught hold of that, haven't they? And they use peer pressure to pressurise young people to crumble in the area of morals, and we're just seeking through this publication to just use it as a voice for some young people that have a heart for God, and to encourage some godly peer pressure. At the same time, we're looking to include an article or two by a senior man, because as young people we've got to learn to draw on the wisdom of those who've gone before us, so we just maintain that balance. I will emphasise that it is a local church ministry. I know when we get into the electronic media world, it can be a great tool, but at the same time, some guys get on the internet and they air their ignorance on their blogs and things without the oversight of a local church or pastor. This ministry is local church. Before I sent out the last edition, I sent it to my pastor, said, please have a look through it. If you've got any qualms, let me know. Okay, so accountability is important. Local church ministries, it's God's way. So I emphasise that. We're not out to start some independent blog site or anything like that to push our own wagon. We want something that's scriptural and something that's going to be a blessing. And we thank God for the authorities he has in our lives, and that helps keep us on track. Tonight we're going to look at a subject. Do you have real friends? Do you have real friends? And I just want to encourage you tonight. You might hear the subject of friendship and immediately you think, what a great message for youth, but I think it's a good one for us as adults as well. And we just want to have a look for a few moments at that subject. And I'll start with this question. Who is influencing you, and who are you influencing in your life? We as people are just so easily influenced. That's just the way we are. The Bible calls us or likens us to sheep. And if you've ever been in the country and watched sheep, you'll understand why God says we like sheep. One sheep breaks away from the pack, doesn't matter where it's headed, all the others go, oh, quick, let's go with this guy. And so we are very easily influenced, and we also influence others. So we need to think very carefully about this matter, and particularly I want to just encourage the young people tonight. We're going to start in Proverbs chapter 13 and verse number 20. If you could turn there in your Bibles, we're just going to read that verse. We're going to have a word of prayer, and then we're going to have a look at this matter of friendship or real friends. And why don't we read the verse out loud once you've found it, Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 20. And we'll read the verse together. Let's read it on the count of two. One, two. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Now, what does it say? He that walketh with wise men might be wise, but a companion of fools might be destroyed? No. Look at the word shall. This is an absolute statement. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. And I just can't help but be struck by the absoluteness of this statement. But a companion of fools shall be destroyed. So it very simply means this. You hang around the right sort of people, or wise people, you will be wise. Very simple. But if you hang around the wrong sort of people, the Bible says you shall be destroyed. It's not an if. It's going to happen. And I've seen it all too often in the lives of young people. And so I want to have us to have a look at this subject tonight, and look at what friendship is. We need to have a biblical mindset in the area of friendship. So if God places such importance on our companions, then I think it's worthy of our attention, just to have a think about for a moment. Friend, the word friend can be defined as a person attached to another by feelings of affection or personal regard. What friendship is not. Friendship, when I talk friendship, I'm not talking about 400 contacts on Facebook. No, we're talking about real friends, the people we interact with in our everyday lives. And so we need to look at what's biblical friendship, wonderful thing. But tonight we're going to have a look at the lives of four young men in the Bible, four young men and how they encouraged each other, and we're going to have a look at their friendship in the book of Daniel and see some principles there that can help us with this whole matter of friendship. But first, we're just going to pray and ask the Lord to help us tonight. Father, we're thankful tonight for the Word of God and the wonderful principles you've outlaid here for us. Lord, it's just so important that we get this matter of our friends and our associations right, especially as young people, when the compass of our life is being set, and we know that Satan would like to bring the wrong people into our lives to influence us for evil, but you desire that we might be influenced for good and for the glory of God. And so we pray tonight that you would speak through your word and that you would encourage us, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So if we turn over to the book of Daniel, we're going to be looking at a couple of accounts in Daniel chapter 1, chapter 2 and chapter 3. And we're going to track the lives here of four young men, particularly. Daniel, we all heard of Daniel, haven't we? He's well known. But then three other men, and they're a little bit more in the background, but we see that they were very much a close-knit friendship together, and that is Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. And I'm sure we've all heard of that story about how the of the fiery furnace, and we remember them because of that. And we're going to have a look at some of these things. So we're going to have a look at some principles that we can draw. We see these young men, what are they doing together? How are they encouraging each other in their friendship? And so we get to just have a look at chapter 1, chapter 2 and chapter 3 and look at three different incidents and see what these young men, how they banded together and draw some principles from that about friendship. And so let's start up in chapter 1 and let's have a look here. I'll just read from verse 1 through 8 and we'll go from there. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, and he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favoured and skilful in all wisdom and cunning in knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names. For he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. Verse 8, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. And so the book introduces here the occasion, what's happening. We see that the children of Israel have been taken captive to Babylon, and you can imagine that would have been a traumatic experience for these young men. They're being captured and taken there to Babylon. But they were selected as part of the king's campaign, you might say, to raise up people who would be leaders in these different fields of education and knowledge and science and these things. And so these young men were selected by the king, because they were skillful, they were sharp young men, and the Bible tells us that these young men were confronted with a situation that was going to test their convictions, a situation that was going to test their faith, and how they were going to band together as friends. And so the king appoints them the daily provision of the king's meat and the wine he drank. And then we see in verse 8 that Daniel purposes in his heart that he would not defile himself. And we often focus on the fact that this was Daniel, that Daniel purposed this in his heart. But as you read down, you'll find that Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego were very much at one in heart with Daniel in this matter, because as you look down in verse 12, he says, "Prove thy servants," plural. He's talking about them. "Let our countenances be looked upon," in verse 13. So he consented to them in this matter. So yes, Daniel is very much at the forefront of leading these young men. And very often in friendship, that's the way it is. There's someone who's naturally a leader, and we want to be led by the right people. So Daniel set a wonderful example for these other young men, and they banded together and they said, "We're not going to defile ourselves. We're going to take this matter of personal purity seriously." Now we might say, the question might come to mind, what's wrong with what the Bible says here? The king was just trying to feed them. Well, we have to understand that for the Israelite, God had given some very specific instructions concerning what they were to eat and what they were to drink. And so this is not a lesson in diets by any stretch. God's not saying, you know, it's a sin to eat meat or anything like that. But God had some very specific rules and things for his people, so that they could learn to be a separate people and an example of obedience. So the underlying principle here, let's not get caught up too much in the details there, but the underlying principle here is that of obedience to the Word of God. And so the first principle I want us to look at tonight is that a true friend will encourage you to obedience. A true friend will encourage you in obedience to the Word of God. And so these young men made this a serious matter. So they said, we take this matter of obedience to God seriously. And as we look at each of these situations as we go through, we're going to see that God was very much the central focus and the central part of these young men's relationship. Isn't it wonderful to have friends that will encourage you to obey the Word of God? You know, you don't need, young people, you don't need friends that are going to always encourage you to walk as close as you can to the edge of the cliff without falling off. That's the mentality, isn't it? Very often, it's in our nature, that's the way we are. If that's where the line's drawn, we want to get as close as we can to it without getting ourselves burnt. But what happens usually is that you do end up getting burnt. And so you need to look out for friends. You need a real friend is going to encourage you in this matter of obedience and separation and purity to God and His Word. And they said, we're not going to defile ourselves because our relationship with God comes first. And I just love to see here Daniel's leadership, but also these young men. They said, we're with you on this. We're standing together on this. And we're going to stand in this together. And so we see their response to this situation, this test, because tests are going to come. They said, we're going to band together. We've made a decision. We're not going to defile ourselves. And so they said to the man there, they said, give us 10 days. Let us eat vegetables and water. And then we assess us and see how we are. And so we see their response to the situation, but then we see God's reward to these young men. And God rewarded and blessed them for their stand together as friends. And the Bible tells us in verse 15, at the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Verse 17, as for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Look down in verse 20, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in his realm. And so God blessed these young men for their stand and for their obedience to the Word of God. Obedience to God's Word, obedience to the principles of God's Word brings great blessing. And if I can encourage you, if you're thinking about who you have in your friend, in your life as your friend, do they encourage you and push you towards a life of obedience to the Word of God, wanting to live for God? That is just so important. Now, I know there are people who are on the edge, and I'm not saying that we need to become aloof. We need to always have a heart of compassion and want to reach out to people. But we're talking about the matter of friendship. Those that you look to as examples in your life, those that you are seeking to be a blessing to yourself, you've got to be very, very wise about your selection of those friends. And so, firstly, as we see the principle here, that these men were determined together as friends. They stood together and said, no, we've made a decision. We're going to purpose in our heart. Now, there would have been a lot of other young people there who just went along with it. A lot easier. It's a lot easier to go with the crowd. But you need friends that you can band together and say, we're gonna stand for God. Look, it's quite possible that, maybe some of the other young men said, oh, come on guys, what's wrong? You know, just, I know, you know, we're not supposed to eat these things as Jews, but, God's told us not to, but, softly, softly, just relax. No, these men took it seriously. They said, together we want to honour God. And so that's the first principle we want us to see in the lives of these young men. A true friend, number one, will encourage you to obey. But secondly, a true friend will encourage you to pray. Daniel chapter 2. In Daniel chapter 2, you might remember the story that Nebuchadnezzar had a dream and he was troubled by that dream. And so he calls the magicians and the astrologers to come and interpret the dream. And of course, they can't. He says, well, I want you to not only tell me the interpretation of my dream, but I want you to tell me what I dreamt. And these fakes just couldn't. They said, well, we can't do that. And so the king was very angry, and he even saw through these guys, because in verse 9 he said, you've prepared lying and corrupt words to speak unto me. He knew that these guys were shams, and they would just give him something to tickle his ears. And so he put a test to them that they couldn't fulfill. And which, by the way, just a free sideline here, just be careful of all this magic stuff. It's just so deceptive and fake. But as we look through there, the king was angry, he was wroth, and so he said, right, we're going to slay all the wise men. And in verse 13, the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain, and they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. Now look at their response. So again, we see these young men are confronted with another testing situation. The first one was in the matter of obedience. Are they going to obey the word of God? This second one was very much in the matter of looking to God in faith to do something that they couldn't do. And so the Bible says in verse 14, that's where we pick up our reading, then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. Now look carefully. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. Verse 17. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known. Who to? Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That's their Hebrew names there. His, what is the little word there? Companions. Okay, so this is a friendship, isn't it? They're companions, they're good friends. And so they're confronted with now an impossible situation. God's going to have to come and do something, or they're going to be slain. And so verse 18, we see what they do. He says he encourages them that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. And so we see these young men confronted with the situation, and we see the principle here is they banded together in prayer. Brothers and sisters, you don't have a true friendship unless you can pray with that person. You can't. Prayer is just so central. Again, we see the focus of this friendship, what they were driven by was God and their relationship with God. And so they encourage each other to obey, they banded together. But then in this situation where they were confronted with an impossible situation, they said, let's pray about this together. If you're thinking about what sort of friends you need in your life, you need friends you can pray with. Young people, don't even consider a young man or a woman for marriage unless you can pray with them. Some of the sweetest times of prayer I've ever experienced in my life have been on my knees with my wife. And that's a wonderful, wonderful thing, to be able to come together in a Christ-honouring relationship and to pray together and to read God's word together. God's got to be central in any relationship. And so I wonder who's influencing you and who are you influencing? Do you pray together? Do you have a young lady you can pray with? Recently, or over the last year, we haven't done it much lately, but Jessie Trumbull, who's Janet's sister, we would ring each other up occasionally on the phone and exchange a prayer list, and we would often just pray over the phone, and they were wonderful, encouraging times. I'm not saying these illustrations to say, wow, look at me. I'm just saying, just as an example, you need to have friends that you can get together and pray. So someone you can share these things with. Look, Daniel came to these men, something was on his heart and he could share it, and he knew that they would get on their knees. You need friends who you can go to when impossible situations come and say, we need faith here. We need God to step into this situation and just band together and pray. Friendship, so important. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. So we see they prayed together. And what a wonderful thing that was. And then we see, so they prayed together. And another illustration, Jonathan and David in 1 Samuel 23:16. I love this verse. David has been running from Saul. And he's hiding in the wilderness there. And Jonathan, Saul's son, comes, the Bible says, and went to David into the wood and strengthened his hand in God. And that's the sort of friend you need. You need a friend that's not going to... It concerns me when I see young people and they hang around, or anyone, you know, they get around these particular people and they're always dragging you down. Always dragging you down. No, you need someone that's going to lift you, strengthen your hands in God. That's the right sort of friendship. And so we see their response to this situation, and again, we see their reward. We see their reward in verse 46 through to 49. Let's have a look at that. God again blessed this young men and their friendship. The king Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face. So Daniel interprets the dream. God answers their prayer. What a wonderful thing that was. And shows him the dream. And then Daniel comes before the king. Then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshipped Daniel and commanded that they should offer an oblation and sweet odours unto him. The king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth, it is that your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldst reveal this secret. Then the king made Daniel a great man and gave him many great gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. Then Daniel requested of the king that he set who? Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel sat in the gate of the king. And so again, we see very much in this situation, Daniel's at the forefront. He's the leader of the pack. But these young men are supporting him in prayer, and they band together, and Daniel then requested the king that they would set them over the affairs of Babylon. Now, I just want to point out something important here, that I don't believe these young men's focus was on, let's pray, or let's obey God so that then we get rewarded. I don't believe that was their focus. I believe these young men were just absolutely devoted, absolutely committed to God, and whatever the results were going to be. But we see that God blessed that. And God will bless that type of friendship when you can band together, when you can pray, stand together in separation against defilement and encourage each other that way. How different to Amnon. The Bible tells us Amnon had a friend. You might remember that story in 2 Samuel 13. Very sad story. The Bible says, but Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimei, David's brother, and Jonadab was a very subtle man. And boy, the counsel this guy gave to Amnon breaks your heart. He was the wrong sort of friend. He encouraged his friend to absolute wickedness. And so it does matter who your friends are. And I don't care if you're an adult. We've got to have the right people encouraging us if we're going to have a close relationship with them. It's a principle we can't afford to break. It's just set in concrete in the Word of God. And so we see the second principle is we need to have friends that will encourage us to pray. But lastly, we need to have friends that will encourage us to stand. Look at Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3, you remember the story well. Nebuchadnezzar the king, verse 1 through 7, he sets up a great image, possibly an image unto himself. We don't know, but it's quite possible. And he, being the governor then of a lot of provinces and having that much power, Babylon was the ruling nation then, a conquering nation, and so he sends out a great summons and calls all the captains and the judges and the treasurers, all the high officials and the rulers of the provinces are gathered together under this dedication of this great image. And so we see here that these young men are going to be tested. They were tested in the matter of their obedience and purity. Secondly, they were tested in their matter of faith. And now they're going to be tested in the matter of compromise, very much so. And so a herald cries out, and they have some music, some good old pop worship music there in verse 5 to get the image worship up and running, get it pumping, and they were to send out a herald, and at the time they heard the music they were to fall down and worship this golden image. And verse 7 tells us, therefore at that time when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, so there's a large representation here, and the languages fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Can you see the picture here? This is nations, rulers, these are dignitaries, this is a multitude of people standing there before this dedication of the image, and the music starts, and they all, in obedience because they're in fear of their lives, fall down to worship the image. And you look out and there's three figures standing up. Boy, you'd stand out, wouldn't you? If I was down there on my face, I'd be having a bit of a peep to see what's these guys doing over here. Boy, they stood out, and we've got to keep that in mind. You know, these young men, this was a courageous stand. And you will notice that Daniel's not here in this particular incident. I find that intriguing in some ways. We see Daniel very much leading and encouraging these three young men in the first. We see Daniel purposed in his heart, and they very much seemed to get along with that. And then the next time Daniel said, hey guys, let's pray, let's get together, he was a real leader. Now they're going to stand on their own. Do these guys really have convictions of their own? Yes, they do. Their convictions obviously went deeper. It wasn't just, you know, I've seen people where so long as they have a strong leader around them like Daniel, they'll follow God. As soon as a strong leader's out the way, they crumble. So these young men, their convictions had gone below the surface. It wasn't just a matter of we're going to do this for Daniel. They said we're going to do this for God. And so we see this mass worship takes place. And here's these three young men standing there in obedience. And so we need friends that will encourage each other to stand. These guys stand together. So Nebuchadnezzar was very, very angry, as you know, and commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And we see their great boldness here. He warns them and says that, you know, gives them another chance. If you be ready when you hear the music, verse 15, fall down. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answer him in verse 16 and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. I love that verse. You know what we need today is some young men who will stand together and say, when it comes to certain things, when it comes to this area of compromise, I mean, look, you know, the thoughts could have gone through their mind, look, we honour the true living God, we're not really going to pray to this image, we'll just bow down with everyone else and you know, and we'll be fine. That's what modern Christianity would say. Just go along with the flow, go have a beer at the pub, of course don't get drunk, you know, but just blend in. And don't be so obstinate about these things. No, these young men said, no, our relationship with God, we're going to be what a testimony. I bet there were some other Jews there that felt ashamed when they saw those young men. Boy, these young men are standing, what's wrong with me? And so they stood for the Lord. And so when it came to this matter, they said, King, we're not careful to answer in this matter. I believe these men were respectful, but they said, they honoured their authorities, and so do we. But when it comes to the matter of our allegiance to God, we can't bend on that. And verse 17 says, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. Look at their faith. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. They said, we believe that God is able to do that. But they say in verse 18, but if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. You know what we need today? We need some young men like that that'll encourage each other and say, we're not going to be sissies, we're not going to be wimps, we're going to stand for something. You know, in Australia, we've got this mentality, you know, just be laid back, don't ruffle anyone's feathers, don't rock the boat, you know, just sit on the fence, relax, and just take the whole thing in a real cool manner. No, that's not what we find in the Word of God. We need young men who are willing to stand. And I ask you, do you have the friends in your life, do they encourage you that way? Do they encourage you to stand when the situations come? Or are they the type to just say, let's go along with this? You know, it's a wonderful thing. It's hard yakka standing by yourself in these types of situations. What a blessing to have even one or two friends that'll say, we're going to stand with you. We're standing together. That's a wonderful thing, and that's the type of friends you need. And young people, if you're thinking about one day getting married, which I'm sure you've never thought of before, okay, you need a wife or a husband who's going to say, you know, when you hang your head, she says, you stand for the Lord, or vice versa. Encourage, provoking, you know, again, we see God is at the centre of these young men's relationship, and He's the focus. He's the priority. And so, the people were commanded to fall down. They were warned of the consequences in verse 6, but their response was boldness in verse 16 and faith in verse 17. They said, God can deliver us, and courage in verse 18. This was courage. They said, look, even if God, if it's in God's plan not to deliver us, we're not budging on this matter. Courage. And what a blessing. I'm sure these, you know, the tests that they'd had in chapter 1 and in chapter 2 prepared them for this, because this was their life. They were, and it wasn't going to be a nice death either, being burnt alive there. And so Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, the Bible says. And the form of his visage was changed. That's how angry this man was. His countenance, he lost it against Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. And he commanded to heat the furnace 1 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. He said, we're going to give these guys roast barbecue. Let's get this really hot. And so they threw them in. And you know the story. We see their reward again. So their response was boldness, faith, courage, and again we see their reward. We see their reward was the presence of God, verse 25. He answered, and so they throw them in, and the men that threw them in perished because the furnace was so hot. And Nebuchadnezzar stands up and he looks there, and he answered and said, verse 25, I see 4 men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And listen to this, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. You know, that brings great comfort to me. You know, if you're willing to take a stand for Christ, there's nothing sweeter than to know the presence of Christ with you in those times. You can feel forsaken and rejected. These men must have felt humiliated, just bound there in front of thousands, possibly thousands and thousands of people that stood for God, and yet we see that God came and walked in the fire with them. The Son of God. And so that was their reward. You know, God blessed. This was the blessing that came out of their stand. The presence of God. But not only the presence of God, they had a good testimony. Verse 26 and 27. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. And the princes, governors, captains, and the king's counsellors being gathered together saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word, and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Verse 29, Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego in the province of the kingdom. Listen to this king. He said, this was a testimony to this pagan king. He said, there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Why? Now, if these young men had gone along with the crowd and not stood together as friends and said, let's band together here, we're not going to compromise our stand for God, what a testimony would have been lost there. But what a testimony there. The king said, I can recognize here, God has got, your God's the real, he's the one and true God. Why? Because 3 young men who were great friends, the Bible says they were companions, they said, we're together on this. God, we're going to stand for God. In each of these events, we see that God was central in their friendship. We see they weren't motivated by the potential rewards. They were motivated by love and devotion towards God, and they left the results in His hands. And so if I can encourage you tonight, the friendships you have in your life are just so important. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. You need friends that are going to encourage you to obey the word of God, friends that are going to encourage you to pray, and friends that are going to encourage you to stand against compromise, to stand for God. So I ask you tonight, what kind of friends do you have? What do you do with your friends? Is there any spiritual activity or exercise in your relationship with your friends? Or is it all just fun and games? Do you need to make a break with some wrong friends? That's a searching question, isn't it? I'll close with this illustration. I'm not going to tell you the name of this young man, but a young man I knew well, a young man who had a lot of potential. He got saved actually in my dad's church, and he really had a desire for the Lord. Really was really on fire in many ways for God. He'd come out witnessing, but he had an apprenticeship, and there's nothing wrong with that. But he would go off to Canberra quite regularly. And he would stay with the men he was working with. And that always concerned me. I said, look, Tim, you've got to just somehow keep a boundary there, because these guys were wicked, wicked guys. And it concerned me. It's okay to have, look, we all have to work. We live in the world. This is where we live. But you don't have to go, down to the pub with them after work. This young man, it just grieves my heart to think about it, but he spent, I believe, too much time with these guys, and became friends, picking them up from the pub and all these things, and you can hear the words of Proverbs ringing in your mind there. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. You're going to be destroyed. It's going to happen. And so this young man, unfortunately, that's just what's happened. He's been destroyed through that. Along with some other things, but I believe that had played a big factor in it. And he's off in a bad, bad way in living a life of sin. And so we just can't afford, we've got to be so careful what relationships we have in our lives. And my wife was recently looking up something on the internet, and she came across this website, and she found these CDs for sale, and they were godly music that we had sold at our church. And we looked at the name, and it was this boy's mother. And he was just selling those CDs online, and it just grieved me no end. And I thought, I wonder if he'd been willing to take a stand and say, no, I'm going to be really separate in this matter of friendship, I'm going to be careful, whether he would still be with us today. And we, of course, pray that God will work in his heart. But you just can't afford to violate that principle. And so we've looked today at just one example, the lives of four young men, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, and we've drawn some principles that might help us, some criteria that might help us, and you can do a study yourself. There's much the Bible says about friendship. Make no friendship with an angry man. Look at the book of Proverbs and set yourself some criteria, and think about who's influencing me, but then who am I influencing? What kind of a friend am I to someone else? Am I the one that's just constantly, when people go away from spending time with me, have they been uplifted? Have they been encouraged in the things of God? Have they been strengthened? Have I strengthened their hands in God, or am I just apathetic in these things? And so I want to challenge you tonight, just a short study looking at these young men and what an encouragement they were. They encouraged each other to obey the word of God and this matter of purity. They prayed together in faith, and then they stood together against compromise. So let's just keep those things in mind, search our hearts about what kind of friend we're being to someone else, and also thinking about how we're being affected as well with the people that we have and associate with. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you tonight for your word, and Lord, what an important principle this is. Father, if you placed it in your word, we do well, Lord, just to take careful notice of what you've said. And we just thank you for the example of these young men, these pure young men, these godly young men who just sharpened as iron sharpened iron. They just sharpened each other in the things of God. They stood together firmly to honour your name, and they were devoted and just sold out for you. And we just pray for young people here tonight. Lord, you know that many of them probably have work colleagues that they have to deal with each day. Help them to be a witness, but at the same time not compromise and become make the wrong friendships and spend time in the wrong locations and in the wrong settings. Help them just to be a witness, and just to get the balance, Lord, between being a witness and kind and compassionate, but at the same time not crossing that line where we make friends with the wrong people, and where we begin to walk and spend time with foolish people, Lord. And so we just pray for your encouragement in the hearts and lives of your people tonight, as we have every head bowed and every eye closed. I wonder, particularly my heart is towards the young people tonight. I know it's important principles for us as adults as well. Maybe you'd say, yes, Brother Simeon, your message is spoken to me tonight, and by God's grace, number one, I want to be careful about who influences me. Number two, I want to be a good influence. I want to be a friend like Daniel who encourages other people, I want to be a leader. I just don't want to be a passive follower all the time. I want to be someone who God can use to encourage others. If there's anyone like that tonight, would you just slip your hand up and down and I'll pray for you, that the Lord will help you. Amen. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. What a wonderful blessing, and may God help you to keep that commitment. Let's pray. Father, I pray for those who've raised their hands. Lord, I pray for myself. You'd help me in this matter. Help me to be a good friend to others. And then help me to be careful about the influences I allow myself to come under as well. Bless us tonight. Thank you for your people here, for their sweet spirit to the Word of God and their attentiveness, Lord, and the encouragement we've had by the fellowship we've had here tonight. And we just pray you'd send us home rejoicing in the great God we serve and in the wonderful Word that we've been able to meditate upon today. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.